The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke, Paul Spohr standing by. Talk Major League Baseball. Kelly, before we get to Spohr, I want to... It's not often that we stop and thank a specific listener, but, you know, sometimes people are just so unbelievably generous. Joe, some time ago, remember he brought me the Swiatek tennis card and the Swiatek signed ball, and you're just like, wow, thank you so much. Richie in New Jersey stopped by the studio on Friday, and I just want to thank him. We have lots of people who stop by the studio, you know, to say hello. And we're always flattered because the South Point is not an easy sort of, you know, walk from anywhere. You got to make an effort to come here if you're not staying here. So we're always flattered by it. But Richie in New Jersey stopped before the show on Friday to talk to me. He just really was. He loves the show. He loves the network. He wrote a handwritten 3-page note to us. It would just couldn't have been nicer. And he got us gifts. One of the gifts, Kelly is proudly displayed. I just want to show this one gift.
It's amazing.
It's Brent Musburger doll from Rocky II. Brent was in there. So that was one of the gifts, and the others were even more generous. So just want to, again, just shout out Richie in New Jersey, because we are always humbled by anybody who does that. But Richie, it is not lost on me the effort you put into all that you sent. So I just wanted to send him a shout out. Paul Spohr joins us from Austin, Texas. It is the All-Star break. Home Run Derby tonight, All-Star Game tomorrow night. Great time to sort of talk Major League Baseball and reset headed into the second half of the season. Technically, that's the second half. Spohr joins us now. How you doing, Paulie?
Gil, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing very well. Do you bet on the Home Run Derby? Do you partake in that kind of thing?
Sometimes. Sometimes I get in pools. I've bet on it on occasion. I don't have anything going this year, but I've been known to. I love the new format. Ever since started in Cincy, the Todd Frazier one, I've enjoyed it quite a bit. I hated it before that. I would turn it on, and then 5 minutes in, I'd realize this is going to be 3 hours of Berman saying back.
That's gonna say.
And then just, go to doing something else. I'd leave it on, but I would go to do something else.
Oh, so
but now I find it great. I think it's excellent.
If I just said to you, what's your hunch? Yes, I'm not going to hold you to it. If you had a hunch as to who's going to win this tonight, who would you say?
I got a little vibe on Adley. I love the guy, man. I really think he's switch hitting Buster Posey. And I know that neither Buster Posey nor Adley has shown obscene power. But you get in a home run derby and guys can surprise you too. I think we tend to kind of judge off a body type and be like, oh, well, this guy's not going to be the guy to do it, you know, type of thing. And look, Pete Alonso's become the god of it. And
yes, he
fits the stereotype of it. So I understand the inclination for that. But there's been guys in the past that don't kind of meet the mold of what a, you know, home run hitter would be that can win it. So if you're going for gut hunch and asking where I'm at there, it's definitely Adley.
Yeah, is Mookie the smallest player to ever participate in this? Pete Alonso has won two of these already. He goes for a third tonight. I have a hunch as to I think. I'll save it for later in the show with Kelly. I do a segment. Let me take this opportunity to ask you a bunch of baseball questions heading into the post-All-Star break. And it's just sort of a mid-season heat check on stuff. Mm-hmm. Here we go. We start with the National League Cy Young will go to, ultimately,
Spencer Strider.
Yes. Say it again.
Spencer Strider.
I agree completely. You can still get Spencer Strider at 6-1. I completely agree.
Love that guy.
I also think he's got a shot at 20 wins, right? Which is, you know, playing for the Braves. He's just unbelievable. What did he have, 11 strikeouts and one walk the other night? Just incredible.
He's unreal. And I've talked about how I'm not a big wins guy. You know that, but I still love a gaudy record. So
yes.
If you're talking 20-5, that's hot, right? Everything else is going to be there to say that his stats are there. I'm not voting for somebody because they're 20-5, but that's just cool. It's a little icing on top of the cake that I know is team dependent without a doubt, but a big win total with a single digit loss total still looks cool.
It's just cool. And I think the way I want to say this, first of all, I don't understand the difference in pricing between Strider and the Gallons of the world. I don't. And the thing about the wins is no one likes analytics more than Paul and I do. But it's almost like the pendulum, let's see if you agree with this, it's almost like the pendulum has swung so much on wins and losses that to get 20 wins might strangely be this cool thing now where we're like, oh, Andy had 20 wins? That is out. You know, like it's this new, because it's almost like retro cool.
And it can, yeah, and it can almost be a proxy for volume too, yes. Right? Like you were going 6+ in all your games. Now, with that Braves team, you might only have to go 5 pretty consistently to get the dub because they take care of you. But that's the thing about wins that I think even some of the Stathead folks don't really understand why it had value back in the day is because you threw 8 innings at a minimum. You were basically run off the team if you couldn't go 8+ every time out. So your record did give some indication of how you pitched. The reason there was the pushback in the recent era here is because as we moved to 5-inning, 6-inning pitchers, there was a lot more volatility. So trying to tell me that somebody's 18 wins meant that they were automatically good, even though they had a 4.70 ERA versus a guy who had 6 wins but had a 3.20 ERA, that's where the pushback comes from. But I think with today's game being such a 5 and die, 5 innings and you're out, you can get a little something from wins. You should always look at other stats. But I do think like a 20-win season is going to be an indicator of a particular amount of volume that you're going to get to.
The New York Yankees will miss the playoffs, yes or no?
Yeah, I think so. I wasn't too bought in on this team coming into the season. Now they're going to get Rodon back. That's really nice. I don't really see where the offense is coming together. Even getting Judge back, right? We've seen them without Judge. They've been a complete nightmare. He'll come back, and obviously he'll help, but what coalesces around him? And who are they going to go out and get, too? Because you can talk trades and all that, but who exactly are they going to go out and get? So, yeah, I think they are going to come up a bit short.
What is amazing about them is that, first of all, one game out of a playoff spot currently, mm-hmm. one game out of a playoff spot, and somehow only 7 losses in, you know, out of the AL East lead, which if you think about who they're running out there every night, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hitters, 6, 7, 8, 9 specifically, where you're like, yeah, how are they doing this? Like, do you view this as Brian Cashman malpractice to some degree?
I know there's a lot of Yankee fans that absolutely do. I definitely think that they've taken some turns that I wouldn't necessarily agree with. I think Cashman is a really good GM on the whole, and his credentials are there, but they haven't won in quite a while. They have all the resources in the world times a million. So, yeah, I think you got to start looking inward a little bit and saying, like, why aren't you the behemoth? Why is Tampa Bay and Baltimore very clearly ahead of them right now in terms of how we feel about those three teams going forward? Even the Rays, though, obviously they're coming back to the pack. You can't hemorrhage an ace every 6 weeks and stay afloat. The Rays are learning that. But yeah, I do wonder if the Yankees have to start looking inward and realizing that, hey, certain things that we do are not getting it done to where we're fighting and scrapping every year. Yes, it's a hard division, but they're supposed to be the powerhouse.
The Miami Marlins, who currently have the 2nd best record in the National League, the 4th best record in all of baseball, will miss the playoffs, yes or no?
I don't think so. I think the pitching is going to hold them. I really do. And, you know, they've got some hitting. Would love to see them go out, get a hitter or two. They don't have to go big. I mean, they can go big, though, too, if they want. If they want to get a guy who isn't just like a rental and they get something a bit more substantial and they trade a big arm, I think that's on the table for them, too. But, yeah, I think that they've banked enough here and their pitching is so strong that it can cover the fact that the hitting is still pretty weak.
Yeah, I'm looking currently to see to make the playoffs, to miss the playoffs. Yankees plus 130 to miss the playoffs. Yankees plus 130 of the teams we just mentioned. And the Miami Marlins plus 190 to miss the playoffs. So it's always, of course, yeah, price dependent.
Exactly. It is going to be price dependent. I don't think I want to jump on that for the Marlins. I mean, that's not a bad number, but I really like this pitching, and pitching can paper over offensive deficiencies, I think, better than the inverse. A great hitting lineup papering over pitching trouble, I think, is tougher, and I think that's what Cincinnati's going to run into if they don't figure out something with some arms. And I love what they're doing. I hate to be the wet blanket on them, but I'm just nervous with who they're running out. The pivot point there would be if Green and Lodolo come back in August and they're just good to go, and then they add 2 studs to go with Abbott, who's been pitching well. That's still only 3/5 of a rotation. I don't know why Graham Ashcraft sucks, but yeah, I do think the Marlins, with pitching over hitting, have a better opportunity than than the Reds, although the Reds have an easier division.
Rapid fire. Shohei Ohtani remains a member of the Angels throughout the rest of this year and into next season. True or false?
I think so.
I do too. Ellie De La Cruz overtakes Corbin Carroll and becomes the National League Rookie of the Year. Ooh, I see your expression.
Oh, man, that's so tough. I mean, obviously, if he continues to play like this, yes. I don't think he's going to continue to play like this, though. That's really the thing, because there is still the swing and miss. And no, I don't think so. I love what he's doing, though.
The most surprised team, at least as we view it right now, to make the postseason, both the American League and National League, will be. It's a little open-ended, but
I mean,
surprise conventional wisdom.
Miami, I think, would be the biggest surprise of all. And then maybe in like the American League, if you're talking like probably the Angels, because now they've fallen down and Trout's out. So I think they'd be a pretty big surprise to make it. By the way, quick correction. Ohtani will just be, he'll be a free agent after this year. So you said he'll be on the team this year and next. I don't know if he'll be on the team next year.
You don't know if he'll be next year. Okay.
No, he's a free agent after this year.
No, so I understand that. But for me, I think for sure this year, I actually think he sticks around for next year too. I could be wrong about that.
They should, but I don't know.
If it's not the Angels, closing question, if it's not the Angels next year, who will it be?
Dodgers. Ooh. Take the easy answer.
You think he wants to play there? You want to the big stage?
When you get thrown enough money. Yeah, I don't think he's afraid of the big stage at all.
Okay. All right. Paul Sporer, everybody. Enjoy the Derby tonight. Enjoy the All-Star game, sir.
Thanks, Gil. Take care.
Paul Sporer at Sporer. FanGraphs, where you can find most of his work. Sleeper in the Bust podcast as well. We'll come back. We'll take a look at Wimbledon, a Wimbledon update. Boy, is this getting interesting. And we'll read your tweets next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, Kelly, I got a question for you. We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? It's not rhetorical, Kelly. What's the answer? Of course you have. Okay. If you drive over the speed limit, there are lots of sounds that you might hear. You could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing, the sound of first responders desperately trying to save you. You could even hear the sound of people crying at a funeral, because if you drive over the speed limit, you could do damage that's beyond repair. One way or another, speeding catches up with you, paid for by NHTSA. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Your Wimbledon update, by the way, is that Novak Djokovic does get by Hubert Hurkacz in four sets after really having no business winning the first couple, but he does get it a sort of darkness-delayed match that ended today, started yesterday. So Novak Djokovic into the quarterfinals. And now, fifth set, Eubanks broke Tsitsipas. Tsitsipas broke him back, and now love 40 on Tsitsipas' racket. So Ooh. Three break points for Christopher Eubanks.
He's pumped.
The American. See the last American standing? I'm trying to think. Yeah, I believe he is, right?
On the men's side?
On the men's side, yeah, yes.
Because you got Pagula left,
you got Jesse
right?
Pagula on the ladies' side.
Are those the only two Americans standing?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I believe so off the top of my head, yeah. Tsitsipas gets one of them back. By the way, Sabalenka rolling Alexandrova 6-4-3 love in that match. The only other one going on right now in my plays, Dimitrov -2.5 games a little later on against Holger Rune. We get tweets at Beating the Book, Elvis Toast Patterson fan Gilly. Do you got any bloodbath stories from any bettors getting their butts handed to them Saturday night? A couple of doggies came in and destroyed Moneyline parlays in the UFC.
Oh,
the books cleaned up.
UFC was awesome Saturday night. I don't know if you watched any of it, but it was one of the better cards I'd seen in a while.
Sweet Lou Finocchiaro hit that 4-1 inside the distance on Lawler, I remember, to start mm-hmm. things off yesterday.
Yeah, so. Yeah, he hit that. He hit Volkanovski inside the distance.
Eubanks breaks Tsitsipas 4-3 on his racket. Wow. Nevada Azer, didn't know Kelly was in Game of Thrones, LOL. I don't know if I understand that one.
I don't know if I do either. It might have been my Allen Iverson walkover.
Maybe that was it.
I mean, spot on British accent for me, so
that's
probably
it was. That's what it was earlier on. Jack Hannon. So Bob Huggins comes out of rehab and tells West Virginia that he never resigned. Man, they have some positive counselors in that facility. Yeah, that's a weird story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huggy Bear's like, I didn't resign. Give me my job back. That's going to get
that
ugly.
That and what? In the Northwestern one. Fitzgerald.
Yeah. That too.
Both of them are weird stories.
Scotty B 726. New to tennis, I have Dimitrov under 40 and a half. Is that the same thing? No, it is not. That's total number of games played. You have under 40 and a half. Mine is, regardless of how many games are played or how many sets, Dimitrov minus 2.5 games. Matthew Mayberry, Straka was only 4 shots back to start the day yesterday. Had him at 55-1 pre-flop and added 45-1 before the round yesterday.
Nice.
Beautiful day. Way to go, Matthew Mayberry.
What a hit.
Ryan Hyatt from Ryan Hyatt Media, silent producer of Primetime Action. I found, Kelly and Gill, that a clipboard and confident wave will get you most anywhere you want to go in life. He's talking about me sitting in the press seats at Summer League. Let's see here. Buddhist Man recognizes all of our graphic errors. Thank you, Buddhist. Jason H11, Kelly, please help. I'm struggling to find a future bet on Kodash crash my car to win the tour. Can you help? He doesn't know any names of Tour de France either. Always appreciate the feedback. Real quick here, can I make a musical documentary and musical concert recommendation before we move on to a Wimbledon here again?
Sure.
Wham. You familiar with Wham,
yeah,
Kelly?
Wham, yeah.
George Michael, Andrew Ridgely. There is a new Netflix documentary on Wham. There have been documentaries on George Michael before. By the way, there's a segment of the audience that's like, really, you want us to watch a Wham documentary? Yes, I do, because Wham is wildly talented. George Michael was. And this documentary answers all the questions you may have had about them. How was it that they went from being a group to George being solo? How did he come out to Andrew Ridgely? How did Careless Whisper get written? Like, it's just every little detail of the group Wham. It is one of the better musical documentaries of modern day that you will see. The Bee Gees was a great one, too, as opposed to like a Donna Summer one, which was terrible. That was on, I think, HBO Max. But the Wham documentary gets my highest recommendation on Netflix.
Okay.
And then went to see Charlie Puth in concert on Saturday night.
Yep.
Charlie Puth.
You've been singing the Paul Walker song all morning.
Let me tell you something. Charlie Puth, who was here in 2018, I saw him then. He was here in 2023. He's only done 2 shows. I saw him again yesterday. It's kind of like Sade. Shows up every 5 years or whatever. Sade would do it every 9 years. Puth is, how can I put this, wildly talented, right? Like, he's a musical savant. Like, he hears a door creak, and then he has a hit song out of it. Like, literally, right? So he has this unbelievable spectrum-y musical talent, and yet has, as the kids would say, no swag whatsoever on stage. So you have, he's like, it's like, imagine that Barry Manilow was 32 years old. That's the guy. So
yeah,
you
does
have
he
to
sit there with a piano?
Part of the time, okay. He sits there with a piano, and the other part of the time, he moves awkwardly. So, and by awkwardly, I mean like startlingly.
He sways or something?
I'll do the imitation off air. I don't want to do it on air because it's so ridiculous. But he is so talented. And Kelly's like, you know, we were saying off air, you're like, I don't know many of his songs. You know 10 of them.
Yeah, you did just randomly sing it.
You know 10 of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He is one of the great songwriters of this generation. I'll go see him every time. Just, I might not just stare at him.
I always wonder with guys like that, where you know they have, or when you see, you hear their songs, you see videos or whatever, and you know they have a great voice, right? But
yes.
I always want to know what those people really sound like live. Because it's still
tremendous,
different. You know?
Tremendous
it's still different.
Voice. Tremendous voice. All right. Petrik Kvitova and Ons Jabeur about to step on the court. Remember, we have Kvitova in a quarter as well. Kvitova, if Iga's not going to win it, Kvitova on the short list, along with Elena Rybakina to win this tournament, but she's got a test in front of her here against Ons Jabeur. And Chris Eubanks up on Tsitsipas, 5-3 now in the deciding set, fifth and final set, which would be a very solid upset, and Eubanks would be into his first major quarterfinal ever. Right now, the updated odds at Wimbledon. On the ladies' side, Iga is still the short shot. Iga Swiatek, the world number one, is plus 160. Again, this is her deepest run into Wimbledon. She's in the quarters by virtue of her unbelievable win yesterday. Death's door, 2 match points against her. She gets by Belinda Bencic. Elena Rybakina is the defending champion. She's plus 210. Sabalenka right now, 5-1. Kvitova still at 12-1. You can still get Kvitova right now at 12-1, which was essentially like some of her worst pre-flop numbers. Like, so, I mean, that's still a great price on her.
Are you surprised by that?
Or a little bit. Okay. She should be single digits.
Like she's not been playing sloppy or something like
no,
that?
No, she's great. She's phenomenal. But I agree with what Drew was saying earlier. Like, and I'm as big an Iga guy as there is, as you know. But even I, like in previous tournaments, I would bet Iga over and over and over again. Not this time, right? It was an Iga one and then an Iga with Djokovic. Because she's never won a grass tournament at the WTA level. She did as a junior, but never at the WTA level. This is the surface she feels the least comfortable on. But she's just that good that there's no reason she can't win it. It's just that other players are really good too. And Rybakina still, especially with the walkover today, she's gonna be rested for her next match. So, and Kvitova is great on grass and Keys is great on grass. So this is going to be a phenomenal final round of 16 matches today and then quarterfinals. But Swiatek plus 160, Rybakina plus 210. I actually think the only bet I would make there would be Kvitova at 12-1.
Really? Okay.
Because I wouldn't recommend betting Swiatek or Rybakina at those prices right now.
Would you? You probably just answered this question, but would you make the same? Would you recommend the same bet that you made pre-flop with the parlay?
I don't.
Djokovic Swiatek parlay.
I don't know if those are available. If they are currently available to people, I still think Djokovic is absolutely winning on the men's side, and agree also with what Drew was saying earlier, which is, you know, Djokovic's main competition here would be Carlitos. Carlitos doesn't look all that great in this tournament. He's got a rough match against Berrettini later too, who has found once again his grass court swag. So if I can use swag twice in one segment,
we might not be able to here in Vegas, but DraftKings plus 290 to
there you go
parlay both those
for Djokovic and
Iga.
Yep, that's still. I mean, before the tournament, it was just double that. It was plus 575, something like that, which is what I have it at. So yeah, I mean, Djokovic is getting there. So I would not, I mean, if you have conviction on any of these ladies on the lady side, that's not a bad play.
Yeah.
Because you'll get the free boost with Djokovic. And I do mean as free as you can possibly get something. So from a betting standpoint, that's still a sound way to approach it. And you don't really get that in sports a lot. But this is Djokovic's to win. He's going for his 24th slam, which would tie him all time with Margaret Court on the lady side. He's already the men's leader. Now we're talking about all time men's and women's with him.
I think it's important to keep in mind too. You know, the rest of the week, or maybe not the rest of the week, but next couple of days, if you've got something this week, you're looking for a parlay friend for Joker. You can toss in there.
Yep, parlay boost. Mm-hmm. By the way, did you see MLB Draft was available anywhere? Not here, it wasn't. But yeah, Skeens ended up going first, as we thought he would, as plus money. He was a dog.
Odds movement last week was like crazy.
Skeens to the Pirates, Dylan Cruz to the Nats, 1-2 in the MLB draft. Good on those who were able to bet it and cashed in on that. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten on baseball from under a cloud of smoke next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Christopher Eubanks, 2 points away from winning this match. And Tsitsipas has had 2 break points, and Eubanks has fended them both off. So we're back to deuce. 5-4 Eubanks. Final set at Wimbledon. Round of 16 between those two. Let's go under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. It's our buddy Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. Did you catch the odds on the Eubanks match?
Pre-flop or during?
Pre-flop.
Yeah, what was he like, a $3 dog, something like that?
Was he really?
Well, no, maybe not that much. But yeah, he was a pretty hefty dog.
I wanted to bet it and I totally forgot. I keep forgetting the you know, the English tennis schedule just doesn't, you know, like I'm not paying attention to it. And I was like, "Oh man, it started."
Match.
And then I saw he was up a set or whatever. And
well, he was down
two favorite.
He was down 2-1, and he just won the match. Christopher Eubanks is headed to the quarterfinals at Wimbledon, upsetting Stefanos Tsitsipas. Congrats to all who had that one. Wow. Down 2-1, coming back. The the lone remaining male American tennis player right now, as Coco Gauff and others clapping for him in the stands. Look at him soaking that in. Good for him. You did not have it, though, in the end.
No, I slept through it, totally forgot it was happening.
By the way, Kvitova down a break against, I think down two breaks against Jabeur in the first set right there. So that's an ugly start for Kvitova as well. Have you been betting Wimbledon at all?
Very little. I try to stay away from tennis. I don't have much of an edge there, so I'm just throwing darts.
Okay. Rose Zhang did not win the women's U.S. Open on the LPGA side, but we talked about this last week. Allison Corpus wins it, 9-under. Rose Zhang, who I believe finished 1-over, still was top 10, T9. So anybody who bet that, congratulations. Did you bet her more than just outrights? Did you win a top 10 bet on her?
Yeah, but I also had top 5 and first round leaders, so no luck there.
Yeah. She never really got it going.
Bad. It's just, you know, she's 3 starts into her career and got a win and 2 top 10, so, you know, can't really hate on her, but she was never in contention, really.
Never in contention. Never really made a run at that tournament this weekend. But congratulations again to Corpus. Baseball, home run derby tonight, Jason. I know you love the derby. I thought you were going to go to this tonight, by the way, in Seattle.
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. You're going to the All-Star game.
Yeah, All-Star.
Oh, okay. Are you betting the derby tonight?
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that I will bet on it, because what am I going to do? You know, watch this and not have money on it or something?
That's right. That sounds ridiculous.
But in years past, I've bet a lot of money on the home run derby. And this year, I just don't see much. You know, like Pete Alonso, not even 4-1. I'd love to bet him. And you got all the Cuban guys. I love the Cubans. And you got a Rosarena and Adolis Garcia in the first round. So, you know, that's kind of a bummer. We're going to get one of them knocked out immediately. And I can't really like Vlad versus Mookie Betts. What side are you going to pick there? The only thing I'm pretty convinced on is Adley Rutschman is the hometown pick, you know, because he's from the Pacific Northwest, went to Oregon State. Other than that, no offense, but I feel like he's the least, you know, worthy of being in this competition. We could have had so many better hitters than him. So I'm fading Rutschman in round one. I laid like -220 with Luis Robert, who, if it wasn't for Ohtani, might be in the MVP conversation in the AL right now.
Yeah. By the way, you totally faked me out. I thought you were about to say you bet Adley Rutschman, but you went the other way. You laid the wood with Luis Robert there.
Yeah, because his dad's pitching to him, and that's one of the things to keep in mind, like home run derby. Really about the pitchers as much as the hitters. You know, Pete Alonso's got his old coach. I think he works for the Nationals now. The guy like knows how to time the pitches to get the most, you know, to get the most pitches in. Adley Rutschman's going to have his dad throwing to him, which means they likely haven't, you know, practiced or done anything. And I'm sure it'll be a cool moment, but typically when I hear dads throwing to the player, I'm fading them.
I like, and this is complete hunch, but it's going to end early, or it could, you know, I'm going to find out early, I think, how this goes. But I think J-Rod, I think Julio Rodriguez at +140, obviously going up against Alonso, it's his park. He's the guy I'm playing. Just going to, you know, not a big bet. Obviously, it's the home run derby. It's not anything scientific here. But I think that represents the most value. Him at 5-1 to win it, +290 to make the finals. You don't like that?
I don't hate it. Yeah. I love Julio Rodriguez. Like you said, it's his park.
Yeah.
This park does have a little bit of a home run problem, especially if the wind's blowing in like it's projected tonight. It's supposed to be like in 7 miles from from center field. But balls don't carry in the outfield here, which is a bit of a problem. But like you mentioned, it's Julio Rodriguez's home park, so he knows how to hit here. Also a little interested in Adolis Garcia. You know, but the problem is, it's like, I like Adolis Garcia. Every one of these guys, with the exception of Adley Rutschman, who's still very good, every one of these guys is a monster home run hitter. I can't make heads or tails of anything here, honestly.
What about you? Here's the thing about the home run derby evolution from a betting standpoint. You can bet this so many different ways. There's most home runs in round one. which is always an interesting thing, right? Somebody will jack up 28 to 30 of them, and you're like, okay, well, I can cash that bet. So Vlad, by the way, most home runs in round one is the short shot at plus 280, followed by Rodriguez, followed by Pete Alonso, which, by the way, that's what makes this interesting. So Alonso's a favorite over Julio Rodriguez in the head-to-head. Like, Rodriguez is like a plus 130 dog, but Rodriguez is a shorter shot to hit more home runs in the first round. So, like, look for things like that, which are anomalous, right? And then you can also bet, you know, the longest home run. So it's set at who would you bet for longest home run, by the way?
Well, I was actually going that. That's funny. You just mentioned that. Longest distance is the prop I'm most excited about, and I was literally trying to bet that when the show called to go on air, and I see it starting to move. I'm trying to bet that. Hold on.
You're talking about the distance of the longest home run, which is also a prop.
Yeah, the distance.
Yeah,
I'm.
That is set at 490 and a half at DraftKings. 490 and a half. Under 490 and a half, minus 125. You like the under?
That's so long.
Yeah.
Especially if the wind's blowing
especially
in.
Especially if the wind's blowing in. Absolutely.
I'd love to see it. You know, it's the Home Run Derby. It's one of my more favorite events to watch. You know, it's always entertaining. You know, hopefully someone jacks one 500 feet. I'd love to see it, but I'm going under.
Yeah, I like that bet too. Would you bet a player with the longest home run, or would you stay away from that?
I don't know how to. That's the thing. Like, you can go through and see who's hitting the longest home runs. You can go through like stadium data and see who historically hits the longest home runs. I guess I'd probably think Julio Rodriguez because it's his home ballpark. But I got nothing on which player is going
to
do it.
I like your under 490 and a half. That's not available everywhere, but for those who have access to that, I love the under on that, especially again with Jason's report on the wind. Okay, we only have 90 seconds here, Jason. All-Star break always gives us an opportunity to just reset. Give me the single best bet that you like that's available out there right now. Maybe it's a division play. Maybe it's a pennant. Maybe it's the World Series. Maybe it's an award. Where do you think the most value lies right now?
Well, I was going to, I was really hoping through the weekend that Spencer Strider's odds were going to stay slightly higher for a little bit longer. The market seems like it's reacted there. It also seems like it has caught up with Blake Snell, whose numbers are even better than Spencer Strider over the last month or so. So I guess there's not a ton of value left in the Cy Young race. I'd say Gunnar Henderson is still the guy I have my eye on in the AL Rookie of the Year race. His numbers are really trending up. He's up there with George Young. Masataka Yoshida also good, but Henderson 3-1, Young plus 120. I don't understand the gap between the two of them, especially with the Orioles coming on strong. You know, they might even contend for the division when all is said and done at the end of the second half.
You think the Yankees make the postseason?
So hard. I mean, someone's getting left out. I think it might be them. To tell you who's not making the postseason, it's going to be the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I think they're quickly recognizing the writing on the wall.
Yeah. Jason, always a pleasure, man. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the Derby tonight.
Thank you. Should be fun. Don't have any bets as I'm running off today, but good luck this week, everybody.
Jason Weingarten. Kelly and I coming back, wrapping things up next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800. 800 Gambler. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Steve in Vegas. Somewhere in between drinks on Wednesday night, I jumped into the Circa app and grabbed a few golfers for the John Deere Classic. One of those was Sepp Straka at 48-1.
Look at these guys.
If you're not listening to the Long Shots crew on a weekly basis, you must have an allergy to money and four-day sweats. Who had Straka?
I don't know that any of us did. I do believe we talked about him.
Okay, he still gave you a shot.
Because I think he was pretty high up there in some of our models.
Listen, Kelly, any chance we get to promo Long Shots, it just doesn't get enough promo.
That's right, especially if you're watching a show done out of Circa, because it's on that right bar. It just rotates.
Sky High at Better Brewer. The word, Gil, you're looking for is drippy. The kids these days have now replaced swag with drip or drippy. For instance, Burrow's outfits are drippy, or Joe's got that drip. As in, he's dripping with style or swag. Thank you, Sky High. I always like to have
We actually need more help like that.
I always like to have my, how can I put this, Kelly? My modern day colloquialisms updated. Believe is how they say it. The kids say that? Jason H11. Oh, hey, Gilly, when I make my yearly trip to Vegas in October, I have a signed Barry Bonds Giants jersey for you. Oh, I guess I know where this is going. I'll meet you at the sushi place to give it to you. What's the address?
It is. I know where this is going.
Mike Stacks. Oh, Eubanks was plus 230 at DK preflop. Enjoy your vacation. Thank you, Mike Stacks, for that update. Eubanks was plus 230. So big dog, not as huge of a dog as I thought he was, but a big dog nonetheless. By the way, as soon as I said, well, what's the only bet I'd make up there? Kvitova 12-1. She completely punted the first set against Anjabur. Anjabur bagels Kvitova in the first set. 6-love. Kvitova, like, lost service games to Love. Her whole strength is her service game on grass. So I don't know what we even watched there for a set.
Be a problem, you're saying.
Yeah, I think she might just have gotten out of bed the wrong way. I don't know. She's now taking a medical break, and Ons is trying to keep loose on the court, you know.
Ons playing is 525 live. Kvitova plus 350.
My goodness, what was that? We're doing a show, so we couldn't pay very close attention, but goodness. So whatever's happening there is happening. So now, Home Run Derby. I mentioned this with Jason. And by the way, again, my only play of the day is Dimitrov minus 2.5 games against Holger Rune.
Just to reiterate that.
Grigor Dimitrov, the Bulgarian, minus 2.5 games against Holger Rune. We were talking about the Home Run Derby with Jason. That is the big sporting event tonight. By the way, you see the Gold Cup between USA and Canada last night? So baseball had finished, and you were searching desperately for some sporting event. It was the quarterfinals between the USA and Canada.
Oh, I like this game. What did you watch in sports yesterday?
Oh, there was nothing. So Felica and Will were talking about this. They're like, oh, it's tied. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? I'm like, oh, the Gold Cup. So CONCACAF Gold Cup quarters between the USA and Canada. It was scoreless through 87 minutes.
Right.
Then Canada, who had been, wait, no, USA scored first, I believe, in the 88th minute to make it 1-0. And then Canada tied it up, one apiece in added time. And so it went to extra time. So I think Paul Carr hit his under 2.5. Did he have under 2.5?
I was just checking. Yeah, under 2.5 he had. Yep.
So then it goes to extra time. The USA has about 50 million chances. By the way, I'm exaggerating that number. It might not have been 50 million. But they have tons of chances to win the soccer game. They cannot put the biscuit in the basket. And then Canada, on this breakout, this one dude, like, kicks the ball and it caroms off an American defender and spins past the goalkeeper, past the goalkeeper into the net. And you're like, oh my God, USA is going to lose this. And in the waning moments of extra time, the USA gets the equalizer, and it goes to penalty kicks, and the USA wins on penalty kicks.
Wow.
So we advance with a 2-2 draw, if you will.
I also saw that the women's team, I think that was a friendly one, but you see, I did not know Dennis Rodman's daughter was a...
Oh, she's going to be huge in the U.S. Women's World Cup. Trinity.
She had two goals in that game.
Yeah, Trinity Rodman. Yeah.
I saw that like a day after I saw Dennis Rodman get like a tattoo on his face of his current girlfriend or something.
Dennis Rodman got a tattoo on his face?
Yes, on his cheek. That's a portrait of his girlfriend or wife. I don't know which.
Oh boy.
Yeah. that was 2 days ago, and I was like, oh, Dennis. And then I saw I saw that highlight, and I'm like, wait, Dennis Rodman has a daughter who is this good of a soccer player?
Oh yeah. Wow. Oh yeah. Totally. Believe me, you'll be hearing nothing. You'll be hearing her name a million times over the next 6 weeks, okay. Starting with the beginning of the U.S. Sorry, beginning with the World Cup, the Ladies World Cup next week in Australia, New Zealand. So all this was a long-winded way of getting somehow back to the Home Run Derby, which is what we talked about with Jason last segment. And I mentioned the only bet I will have, because I agree with Jason completely. Why watch this if you don't have a wager on it, right?
Oh, totally.
We are not above making just ridiculous bets on ridiculous events just to entertain ourselves.
Well, yes, but your guy's one bet's going to be under 490 and a half.
Well, I think under 490 and a half is a no. That's the one. I think if I had that bet available to me, I would make. Jason is. If you have it available, I'd make it too because the wind's supposed to be blowing in. 490 and a half is ridiculously long anyway.
Yeah, I get it. But you're going to sit through a home run derby. Home runs don't go far.
But I'm on who, yeah, like everything's a wall scraper. 405, 398. That's what it's going to be, the home run derby tonight. I do like Julio Rodriguez to make the finals and to win. He's up against Pete Alonso in the first bracket, so I'm going to know very quickly, I think, how Julio Rodriguez is going to do. Either he slays the beast that is Pete Alonso, two-time home run derby champ, or he doesn't. So that's the one bet I'll have on a player. You want to do a draft? You want to do an old primetime action draft?
Yeah, we're doing a draft. All right, what do we got? We've got eight players. All right, here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
How about this? We're going to pick three each, so there's two left on the board. Okay, we're not drafting everybody. We'll pick three players each.
Yep.
If your player wins it, other person owes you $200. If your player makes it to the finals, the other person owes you $100.
Done.
So, in theory, if your guy reaches the finals and then wins it, $300.
Right.
Done?
Or, I mean, we could both get guys to the finals, and one of us will win.
Exactly.
And then,
yeah,
you know, it's all kinds of things. Okay. Who picks first? How do we do that?
I don't know. Did you just start? Did you just go Julio Rodriguez?
I'll go Julio first.
Do I have to go Pete Alonso?
I think you do.
We figure that out in the first matchup?
If I'm you, I absolutely don't do that so that I can have him. But you want Pete Alonso?
Yeah, I'm going with Pete.
All right, so we have a head-to-head right there at the top.
There we go.
Are we snaking this? We're snaking, right? Go ahead. You're next.
No, you go.
Oh, I go next?
You went first. I went second.
I'll take Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Okay. I'm going, is it Robert or Robert?
No. Everybody
Luis
says.
Robert Jr.
Everybody says Robert. Okay, and then I will take Adolis Garcia third.
Randy Rosarena.
Okay, so we left Rutschman and Mookie.
It's kind of boring.
That was kind of boring because we left.
You know what? I'm scrapping Robert. Get out of here. Give me Mookie. I want Mookie instead of Robert.
Well, then I want Robert.
Then you can have Robert.
Fine. Okay. So now do we keep track of that or we just botch that?
Probably. Okay. I've got Alonso, a Rosarena.
You don't even know who you have anymore.
And Mookie.
Yeah. And I have Julio Rodriguez.
Vlad
and Luis Robert.
Yes.
Okay. Dude, what could go wrong?
Going down.
We managed to botch a three-player draft. What do you think was our best segment? This brings up a question. What do you think was our most botched segment last week? Trying to figure out the NBA in tournament? Or what was the other one we messed up last week? I can't remember. Oh, the hot dogs. What do you think
it was
our
hot dogs?
It was the hot dogs.
That one was worse because, you know what? The NBA in-season tournament wasn't very well-defined.
We actually talked through that one pretty well, I thought.
I think so, too.
So, and what did we learn in the end? Nothing new?
We got the teams. We got the teams. They did that all Saturday night at NBA Con, the new Comic Con for NBA fans, I guess, which I did not get over to.
Eight teams advanced to knockout rounds. The team with best record in each group plus one wild card team from each conference. But did we figure out how it applies to the whole schedule? They count as actual games, right?
Right. Yes.
Until
the group play,
but not the quarters, the semis, or the okay.
Correct. Oh, no, the quarters still do because the quarters will be played at home stadium still, and they'll still count towards records. The semis, I'm still unsure about. That's the one I don't know about.
We still don't.
Then we come to Vegas for the semis and the finals. The finals will not be counted. I know that much.
Okay, and then they'll add, for the teams that don't get there, they'll add games to the schedule, which, again, for betting purposes, makes it impossible to set season win totals. You have to do season win percentage this
coming
year.
Did hear from one odds maker they're going to set win totals as usual.
How can they when they don't know? No.
I don't know. 80 games. They know there's going to be 82.
I'm going on vacation. Enjoy. Lombardi Line is next from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.